Welcome to the Faith Element Podcast for the April 2nd, 2017 session, focusing on Romans chapter 8, verses 6 through 11, Alternate Reality. I'm David Cassidy.
I'm Darian Duckworth.
I'm Bert Montgomery.
And I'm Daniel Glaze.
Now, Darian has practically become a regular, so we're excited to have her back. Darian, good to have you back with us.
Thanks, David. It is always fun to be with you guys, and I'm feeling like part of the team now. So this is a lot of fun.
Well, we enjoy having you with us, and you know, Bert and Daniel are back. We're not able to have them with us for the whole podcast the last two times. They were helpful enough to share their recordings of their intros for us, but it's good to have you both in person tonight.
Good to be here.
Well, we've made it to the fifth Sunday of Lent. Can you believe it? Mm. Yeah, time flies. So, Daniel, can you maybe help us get started with some insights around today's passage?
Yes, David, as you said, this scripture passage from Romans is for the fifth Sunday in Lent. So now would be a good time to ask, how are our fasts going? How are we doing with giving up chocolate or abstaining from alcohol or our commitment to pray and read scripture more? The end of Lent is in sight, so perhaps it's a good time to check in. To be sure, concentrating on a discipline or fasting from something during Lent may have some merit, but Lent is so much more than that. Doug Travis suggests that more than a time for abstention or fasting, Lent should be seen as a time of self-discovery, a period specifically devoted to discerning who we are. Paul, in this section of Scripture, seeks to tell us who we are. You are not in the flesh, he says. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, before we go any farther, let's talk about that word flesh. The flesh, or living in the flesh, I think has been misunderstood. The flesh, or living in the flesh, is not to say that the material world or our bodies are bad or evil. For remember, God created all that is, and God called it good. Our bodies aren't the problem. No, it's our selves. That is, living in the flesh, I think, is about putting yourself first. It's about living according to what you think you need above living according to what's best for one's community and this world. It's popular nowadays to criticize millennials or the younger generation as living in the flesh, as entirely focused on themselves. Well, I think this is utterly untrue, despite the fact that they do take entirely too many selfies. No, I really have hope in this next generation of leaders, at least the ones I know. They are focused on things of the Spirit. They are focused on treating God's creation with great care. They are focused on living within community. They are focused on promoting justice and inclusion and radical love and peace, and they are more hopeful than the rest of us combined. They know what Paul knew, that setting the mind on the flesh is death, but setting the mind on the Spirit, that is, living according to the freedom we find in Christ, that brings us life and peace. So as we near the end of this Lenten season, I hope we'll finish well. As we walk with Jesus to the cross, may we remain faithful. May we remember that, as Paul says here, the Spirit dwells in us. And because the Spirit dwells in us, we have the courage, the desire, and the ability to work for a just and peaceful world. And that's a little background on our text for today.
Well, I was really glad to hear you reference young persons, because I mean, I've had a similar sense from many of the young people that are in our community, in our church, that they seem to have an ability, at least many of them, to focus on these things that are most important. Whereas, you know, I think sometimes people from my generation sometimes focus on more superficial things. And we actually had a group at of young leaders in our community that were specifically invited because they were young leaders in our community speak during our Wednesday night prayer meeting last night. And they were so inspiring about their hopefulness for the community, of what was being done, and concretely what we could do to help out. And it was really exciting to hear their voices as the ones speaking up for responsibility and vision and hope.
That's really interesting, Dave. Were they speaking from a posture of faith or not necessarily?
Not necessarily. One of them is was a vice president in a group that works to improve downtown development. Another one was with a historical society in town, restoring facilities and buildings that have historic, and we have a lot of that, that have some historic meaning here. Another one was working for the city and but was talking about, you know, the places where they saw hope and movement and good things coming. And I would have never expected, one, those young people to be in the positions they were in, just stereotypically, right? Or the excitement that they brought to it. I thought it was wonderful.
I asked that, and I probably should have said that was a leading question, because I've found, and maybe we've all found, I'm sure, that quite often, sometimes those who may not claim to speak from a posture of faith can teach us what those things of the Spirit are all about, because they're doing it in the world. And it sounds like that's what, I mean, I've experienced that particularly among young people today, whether they've, you know, consciously do not take up that name of faith or have been turned off by it or whatever else, they continue to live, from my perspective, live in the Spirit. The Spirit dwells in them because of the way they treat this world and one another. I'm hopeful about it. Mm-hmm.
You know, in talking about the whole idea of the flesh, and Daniel, I like how you interpreted that around the self. For the past, 9 years ago, actually, I became a yoga teacher, and I'm not currently teaching, but when I was leading classes, the thing that I heard more than anything from students who were coming, especially those who were coming to yoga for the first time, was, oh, I don't want anybody looking at me, you know, or there was this feeling that everybody was, there was a lot of focus on the self, like a lot of self-consciousness of people afraid that others were going to be watching them and judging them. And something that I always said to them was, don't worry, it's all about you and your yoga mat. You know, no one's going to pay attention to you. It's just focus on yourself. And I struggled with that a lot, giving that instruction, because I was trying to comfort them and say, give yoga a try, you know, and just focus on yourself. And I struggled with that because yoga, the whole purpose of yoga, really, whether you're Christian, and I'm certified and practice Christian yoga that focuses on scripture meditation, but whatever style of yoga you choose, the roots of yoga are all about, you work on yourself in order to transform the world around you. That especially by focusing on the breath, focusing on making changes in your personal life and in your physical and mental life, then you're energized to go forth and make changes in the world around you. And and it's so strange to read this passage from Romans and to think about yoga, because I don't really see Paul as being a yogi type. I could be wrong. Paul might have, you know, dug yoga. But when we think about the Spirit, he talks about the Spirit. And when you think about the Spirit also being translated as breath, and yoga brings us back to that. It's not just about our own breath. It's about the fact that that's the breath that connects us all. And this whole idea of, you know, focusing outside of the self, that's really at the root of yoga principles, is that, yeah, you are focusing on your own breath and on your own practice, but it's supposed to be for a greater good. And that's something that Lent challenges us to, is looking beyond ourselves and how we can be involved in the work of the Spirit that is changing the world.
So that's really interesting. And I think that sort of jives with the text, Darian. So in yoga, and I am not an expert or even practitioner, but while the focus may be on self, the end goal is not.
Yeah, it's supposed to be. And one of the things I've struggled with is that really yoga it becomes a community. A lot of people consider their yoga classes their community of faith. Mm-hmm. In fact, I struggle as well with yoga studios that offer classes on Sunday, because I'm like, no, you come to your community of faith in church and then you do yoga at other times. But a lot of folks who are seeking the work of the Spirit in the world, the breath and the wind of the Spirit, you know, sometimes find it in a place like that. So yoga is about what's on the individual mat, but what happens on your individual mat, but it's supposed to go beyond the mat as well.
That's all fascinating, and I think it's on target, but I just have this mental image of Paul in a lotus position with all of his listeners in a lotus position, chanting Om, And the one guy that falls asleep in yoga and falls out the window and dies.
Now that would explain why he fell asleep. I mean, yoga can relax you. He was in the spirit, you know.
He was in the spirit. Is that in the book of Acts?
Eutychus, was that his name? I think yeah. It's Eutychus.
I like this connection that, Darian, that you've made with yoga, Daniel, that you've made with justice. In my religion classes, when we talk about mysticism, you know, I'll show a clip of a very short video on the Sufis, the mystical Muslims who whirl, they spin into a trance as part of prayer. We talk about different ways people experience prayer and trances and meditation and things like that. But one of the persons who's describing it says we're spinning with the world that's spinning. And in spinning with the world, we find our unmovable center, which is not unlike some things you'll hear Hindus, Buddhists talk about with yoga. Catholics talk about the centering prayer. That sense of, on the one hand, it's this, we think of yoga or we may think of prayer, we think of the flesh as me. But at the same time, it's in letting go and becoming fully aware and letting everything else fall away, then we're free to be more engaged with everything else. It makes no sense. but you see that from what I understand about the practice of yoga, meditation from Hindu and Buddhism, centering prayer, Sufis whirling, everything else, you become so centered in the stream of life, the universal force, in the spirit of God, in our center, everything else falls away. But then when everything else falls away, then we're free to be fully engaged with everything else.
And I wonder if that's is part of what Nikki was trying to get at in her Bible background video, right? Because I think she's the one who titled this session Alternate Reality. And she talks about, right, that she says, you know, we live in the reality of a wider presence whenever we're filled with the Spirit, which seems to say, you know, the presence or the existence that maybe we are in much of the time is not as wide as it could be, that if we allowed ourselves to be open to the work of the Spirit, that it literally, maybe it begins with that centering and then allows us to expand out and see more, hear more, to understand more.
Yeah, and I think back to in the Psalms, God says, be still and know that I am God. And I always think about that when I'm thinking about yoga and meditation or centering prayer, because the world is, you know, you've got all these demands. You've got your calendar in front of you. You've got your computer on. You've got people texting you, I need this. When are you going to do this? What's going on tomorrow? Everything. And our mind, even if we stop and sit for a minute, our minds are in spinning chaos. Let your mind be still. And that's that opening ourselves up and becoming one with God's reality, apart from all of this noise and all these demands.
Darian, am I right that you practice that, right? You literally like unplug for a portion of a day or most of a day during the week. Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that related to that desire?
It is. Yeah. I mean, and it comes from, I think, practicing yoga for the past 18 years or so, you know, has kind of sealed that with me because it's an invitation when you unplug and you put what you can away. You know, like I try to every day or at least multiple days a week go in the yoga room at my house and I leave all the electronic devices outside of the room and just try to be present right there on the mat and like meet God on the mat. And one of the basic principles of yoga is that you focus on the breath. Without the breath, you know, there's no yoga. And when you get back to that breath, like I said, this is what gets us back to the scripture, to the wind hovering over the water, the spirit that is like the wind that Jesus and Nicodemus talked about. And now we've got Paul talking about the spirit. And of course, the word there is also translated wind. And so we're getting back to that basic essential. And unplugging, meditating, centering prayer, practicing yoga, whatever instrument you choose, the purpose of it is to bring us back to that unifying reality that that we are God's and we belong to God, bringing us back to that first breath of creation. And that's what, even if we come to the mat for the purpose of self, we're transformed, you know, as we focus and practice on the good of everything around us. So, yeah, I just still can't believe that Paul and yoga have something in common, but you can connect them. But, and you find, as we were just talking about, even though it seems limiting to take all of that, unplug from all the devices and, you know, be present, there's great freedom that we find.
And wow, that may be more important now than ever, because it's so much harder to, you know, to center, to get away from all the noise.
You know, Clarence Jordan's Cotton Patch Gospel translation, in verse 11, this fits in with that, because we're talking about becoming aware of the Spirit of God around us, becoming aware. It's not becoming in tune with as much, well, it is, or in touch with, because the Spirit of God's already in us. And Paul's saying that. I mean, Paul's saying, you know, you're living this kind of other kind of life that's based on your needs, your will, the world's demands, your way of doing things, humankind's way of doing things versus the Spirit way. Clarence Jordan says, the verse 11 in his Cotton Patch Gospels, if the Spirit of God who made Jesus to live again permeates you, then the same God will also give life to your hell-bent egos by means of his Spirit that permeates you. And to me, that's the perfect image of our hell-bent need to control, which leads to so many destructive things, right? Versus the Spirit of God within us that gives life. And the whole idea of yoga is, I'm renewing my understanding of it in meditation and prayer, is that becoming aware of the Spirit of God that's already in me. Hell-bent ego.
Have any of you been part of a Tazay service?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Love those.
We have started, it actually probably was two or three years ago, the church started one of those. They do it once or twice a month, and sometimes they move it around town. For example, the one that's coming up is going to be at a chapel at a school on the other side of town. It's been really interesting that it, it seems to have met a real need, because, you know, it's a service that welcomes silence and periods of silence for reflection. There's music, there's different things to provoke the senses, candles and smells and other, but it's largely a service of silence and meditation. It's been interesting to see that it's connected with some people for whom that appears to be a very strong need. Maybe all of us need it, but it's certainly been attractive to those who are seeking it out.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that, David, because this connects back to what Daniel was talking about with millennials in his introduction. I've been in conversation recently with some other United Methodist ministers about some worship services that we're planning. And we were talking about that there seems to be a trend among the younger clergy towards Tazay services, towards more of the meditative, contemplative type services, and really, you know, craving that silence. And like I said, that just made me think back to what Daniel was saying in his introduction about seeking out we surprise each other, and different groups of people may surprise us by the things that, you know, that they really are interested in. So that's just the connection.
And again, the connection with Tazay worship is really interesting, because as I understand it, you know, sort of that repetitive nature, almost trance-like choruses that you repeat, is not an attempt to deny self, but almost to lose oneself as the focus or as the end goal. And I think that's sort of what a lot of what we're talking about here, that it's not focus on self for self's sake, but so that we can live into the Spirit of God, which is already within us, to be agents of transformation in this world. And thank you for coming back to it, because I absolutely agree. This is something that young people do naturally and do well, and we can stand to learn from them.
And I'll put a, I have to do a plug here because, you know, Faith Element, the curriculum that this podcast is connected to and supports is a, one of its uniquenesses is that it does offer a contemplative approach to every single session that we offer. Mm-hmm. It's called Mystic. Joy Yee, she's out at 19th Avenue Baptist Church in San Francisco. And she does a fabulous job in helping people do much of this kind of expression and focusing that we're describing here, that we see expressed in this passage. So if you're listening and you want to give this a try, because you think about it, the contrast between the typical Bible study lesson, right, is it's all talking. Uh-huh. Whereas the mystic approach that Joy writes is often very much a prompt and then silence and reflection and maybe another prompt and silence. For people that use it, I understand often there are things that are discovered or noticed, realized that wouldn't happen if everybody's chattering. So, you know, worth a try. It's the Mystic Session page in Faith Element.
Yeah, I've often thought she's got, Joy's got the easiest assignment because hers are always so short, but I kid
about
that because
that way.
but they're so thoughtful, yeah, and so well written, and mm-hmm, and I'm sure it takes hours of thought and processing to be able to reach that goal of let's center on a question or let's focus on our breathing.
Read this text over, yeah, and over with periods of silence to see what is unveiled,
right,
to us.
So that we can get in touch with those things beyond self. Again, not attempt to deny self, but to realize where our true focus should be.
Well, you know, this passage in Romans, we hear Paul calling us to focus on and allow the Spirit to work within us. But it's not the only place that Paul encourages us to follow the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, he does the same thing. And following up a section where he's talking about sin again, and ways of the flesh, he leads this very famous text about the fruits of the Spirit. And so I thought we might close just by hearing verses 22 and 23 of Galatians. And he says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." Thank you all for this conversation.
Thanks. Good night.
Thank you, David. Good night.
Find more information about this podcast, as well as videos and teaching resources for this session, at faithelement.net. Faith Element is a service of Faith Lab.